our God and our Father in heaven, your love for us is great. Your thoughts toward us, they are kind. And we have seen your mercies new every day. Throughout this week, Lord, if we would stop to count, we would run out of numbers. The number of time you protected us, provided for us, Lord, and defended us against the assaults and attacks of the enemy. Truly, Lord, we saw in the story of Job, how in one moment, when you allow it, the kind of unwanted power that the enemy has, and we saw him destroying everything that was dear to Job. But you, great God, you have been protecting us, and even the enemy had to confess, have you not built a hedge around Job and protect all that he has on every side? So we know the enemy attacks from every side, but Lord, you defend from every side. Thank you for your defense. As we enter your word now, we ask that your spirit be over us, Lord. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. As you can see, our sermon today is entitled what? What is in your hand? And you can see that it's coming straight from the word of God. What is in your hand? And I'd like you to think about this the entire length of this sermon. What is in your hand? You know, one thing everyone in the hearing of my voice can be sure about today is that God is calling you to accept salvation through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And as surely as God calls you to accept salvation, is as surely as he is sending you to share him with others as the source of salvation. What do you say? The question is, which way do you prefer to share Jesus? Do you prefer to share Jesus in public evangelism or in a more one-on-one experience? And like the approach we are studying this weekend in small groups, evangelistic small groups. And you get to answer that for yourself. What is in your hand? The question which God asked Moses forms the basis of our message today and also the title of my sermon. The truth is, we can no longer sit idly by on the premises, but rather, it's time to get busy and stand on the promises of God. Maybe about 4 years ago, I nearly ran into trouble at Vestal Hills because my sermon title was R.I.P. Vestal. And people emailed, people texted, people called and said, Pastor, what kind of sermon is that? R.I.P. The truth is, the real emphasis of the sermon was that we should rest in the arms of Jesus, rest in the salvation of Jesus. But also, which was true, and it came out in the presentation by Dr. McLean a moment ago, if we continue to do what we have been doing for the last 15 years, in 15 years we will be selling this church building. And I told that to Vestal, and some people didn't take it too kindly, but I know Elmira understands, so you'll take it kindly. The real truth is, we have to get up and do something for Jesus. We have to grow ourselves. We ourselves have to grow spiritually. And we also need to grow numerically. What do you say? Amen. All right, Elmira is still with me. Elmira says amen. Amen. We press on. We press on. Yes, my friend. Every church member cannot be a pastor. But every church member can be a disciple, a minister, a servant of God, proclaiming the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to do something for the cause of God. The question is, what is in your hand? It's time to gather some stars in your crown, because there will be no starless crown in heaven. What can you do then? Use some of the same energy that you put into your favorite sport team. And most of you here know I'm a soccer player. That's my number one sport. I do give an eye to the others, but my sport is soccer. I claim it. And recently, I was watching a game maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. And I cannot remember if it was Croatia. I think it was one of the Euro games. And the team that I was kind of rooting for, I really don't have any team like that in Europe. I just watch the game and enjoy it. But the team I was rooting for in that game had the opponent score against them. The cameraman turned the spotlight on the coach. The coach saw the goal, but then he began looking down at his paper. He didn't even pay attention to that goal. The man was unfazed. He didn't flinch. And I cannot remember which team it was and which coach it was. But I saw the guy made some moves on his board. He made some masterly move. And I tell you, in a moment of time, he sent a message with one of his players. And whatever were those masterly moves, that player went out. And within moments, they struck back and score an equalizing goal. They walk away winning that goal. Man, I was driving here this morning and I thought about that coach with his master stroke. And I began to think about Jesus with his master stroke. There's no one in this universe who is as masterful as Jesus. And he sent a message to us this weekend that small group is the way to go. Small group is a very viable, functional, powerful, God-ordained method to get this message out. What does the church say today? I say amen. I say amen. If a coach could do that, just think about what my Jesus can do. So what's my encouragement to you today? Use some of the energy you put into your favorite sport team or political party, into your jobs or into your schooling, into retirement. Use some of that energy to tell people about Jesus. Now, each of us already belong to some kind of small groups. Even if you didn't realize it, you already belong to some kind of small groups. So whether those are friends, you belong to a group of friends, don't you? How many of you here don't have a friend? No takers. We all have friends, amen? So you have small group. You have some kind of small group. Whether those are friends, alliances, allies, associates, or neighbors, and you know which group fits your situation best. Some are definitely closer to you than others. So why not move those who would be included or inclined to join you in an evangelistic small group? In other words, move people who are already in your circle of influence, move them into an evangelistic small group situation. I tell you something, and maybe some of my friends might watch this. Like I said, soccer is my sport. And when you see me on the soccer field, I'm as passionate about this as I am about preaching. When I play, I go to play, and I give it my best shot any day of the week. When I play, I give it my all. I have soccer buddies. A couple of them have been to church with me at Vestal. And by the way, this camp meeting, one of my longtime soccer buddies that I used to play with in Ithaca, guess who was at camp meeting? That soccer buddy of mine. And he's now checking out Adventism. He actually called upon me to be one of those that will mentor him in the faith. Isn't that a blessing? Man, I tell you, in every circle we find ourselves, let us use our influence to call people to Christ. I recently preached a sermon at Vestal called Heaven. And I intentionally send that to several of my soccer buddies. I don't know what some of them believe, to be frank with you. But I sent it to them because I want to make sure that, you know, I am spreading the word of God to them. And on Thursday night when I went to play, one of them walked up to me. And you know what he said? He says, "Man, Warren, I watched your sermon, man. That was powerful." I don't know what the guy believes, but I sent him that sermon. Because for me, you know, I am not holding back. I'm going to tell Jesus, I'm going to tell Adventism, I don't care who you are, I'm going to tell it. Because we are missing opportunities. One of my neighbors, you know, I went to Jamaica the middle of April. One of my neighbors, I've been looking out for him because we've had many conversations. When he brought the Ellie's in, that neighbor even bought books from the Ellie's. We've had many conversations. But I came back and I noticed his car in the driveway and I keep looking out for this neighbor. because I wanted to have that next conversation with him. I keep looking out. The car is not moving. I'm not seeing the neighbor. It was this week on Monday. I was talking to another neighbor that I reach out to. And as we engaged in that conversation, you know, she looked across the street to the neighbor that I was looking for. And she says, "Too bad." Something of the sort. And I says, "What you mean?" She says, "Haven't you heard?" I said, "No." She said, "He passed away." And not only that he passed away, he died by suicide. 64 years old. Man, I tell you, in my heart of heart, I felt upset. So, he died on April 15. I came back from Jamaica on April 16. So since April 16, I've been looking out for my neighbor who is dead. How about your neighbors? Who is in your neighborhood? Who is it that you live beside for all these decades, for all these months, for all these weeks, for all these years that you're not presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to? I tell you, you know, if you're like our brother Charles and you make money by the millions, you know, he's supposed to share the faith with the millionaires, right? And I see Elios had a real smile over there because he think you're millions. He counting the billions, you know? So you're supposed to reach the people in your circle, amen? So if you work, you're supposed to reach the people in the workplace. If you go to school, you're supposed to reach the people in your school. If you're in retirement, praise God, reach the people in retirement, amen? We are supposed to reach people right where we are. And I tell you, this neighbor is on my prayer list, literally. I have him and his wife, and I have different couples and families throughout my neighborhood. I have their names on my prayer list. I pray for these people. I think of them being a part of the kingdom of God. And I'm encouraging all of us to do the same. Who is it that you need to tell about Jesus Christ? Why not move those already in your circles? Why not move them to join you in an evangelistic small group? You will only find out their level of interest when you ask. Did you know that? Many people don't baptize in the church because they were never asked to be baptized. Did you know that? I'm going to begin to spill some pastoral secrets now. Just this week, there's a young lady that attends Vestal for you Vestalites. I asked her about transferring her membership to Vestal. You know what that young lady said? "All these years I have been here in the United States, I was never asked." Spilling a secret. Never ask. We need to be very intentional. Amen? We need everybody on board. We need all hands on deck. So you already have evangelistic small group candidates in your circles. What is in your hand? That is what God is asking you today. Use what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Oftentimes we do that. "Well, I can't preach like the pastor, or I can't teach like Donna, so there's no place for me." No, 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 no. God didn't ask you to teach like Donna. God didn't ask you to preach like pastor. God asked you to do something for him. Use your talents. Use your gifts. Use what you have. Even if you can't sing like Mahalia, use your talents. Amen? Use what you have. What is in your hand? You know, you can eat with somebody, can't you? Some of the nicest conversations you can have is over a meal. And most people will not say no if you're taking them out to a meal and the tag is on you. Most people will go out to eat a meal. Here you go. Another aspect of evangelism. Invite somebody to eat with you. And the same person you eat with, you can meet with that person over the word of God. Amen. We want to make evangelism easy so everybody can do it. You can tell that person you meet with. You can tell that same somebody, you can tell them about Jesus. Meet in small groups. You know, each Adventist should bring one they care about who is not an Adventist. That's how you do it. So we don't just end up with an Adventist club, amen? We want it to be an evangelistic small group. And we want to meet weekly. And you'll hear more in this afternoon's training. You want to meet weekly and at a set time to eat, to fellowship, and to study the Bible together. And having an equal ratio of practicing Adventists and those who are not yet practicing would be ideal. But the question is, why have we not have many evangelistic small groups in our churches as yet? You don't want to know the simple answer? You know, in our history, we did as a Seventh-day Adventist movement. But the reason we don't have it today is because we have not yet asked. We have not asked God. We need a new day. What did Jesus tell us in the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 12 through to 14? Quote, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Verse 13. "And whatever you ask." There it is. Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Then he says in verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Of course, you know that's conditional. But when you want to do evangelism for God like small groups, Jesus says, "If you ask for evangelistic small group in my name, I will do it." The question is, what is in your hand? Each of you here lives somewhere, right? You know, there's a perfect space for an evangelistic small group, right? You may have to shape up some of the messiness, but that's fine. Shape up some of the messiness and open up a small group in your home. Man, you guys looking at me like I'm strange. Any of you here homeless? I'm sure not. We all have a home. We can open up our homes to become evangelistic small group centers. I'm glad one person agrees. Amen. All right, Brother Elias. I'm glad you agree with me. Amen. Let us, and guess what? It might not work in your home, but it may work in Charles and Donna's mansion. Amen. Go up to Charles and Donna's mansion. Amen. Amen. And it may not work in their mansion. Go to a restaurant. Go to a fast food joint. There are so many spaces. Open up this church. It has many rooms. Hold a small group in the children's room or the Sabbath school room or some room in this place. Open up. But we need to do something. We need to get going. What do you say? We cannot help by proxy. We got to get involved. We cannot turn our backs on one of the most well-tried methods, which is evangelistic small groups. This method, we're told in Inspiration, was given by one who cannot err. You know who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, when you read like in Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God, did you see any protection for the back? No. If you haven't noticed, there's no protection for the back. So you know what I say from that then? Don't turn your back to the enemy and don't turn your back on small groups. Amen. Amen. Now, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, God's got our back. Isn't that what he told us? That he'll be our rear guard, King James Version, rear reward. That's what it means. God says he will cover our backs. But he'll only cover our backs when we walk in the light of his word. Amen? If we go our own wayward way, we subject ourselves to the attacks of the enemy. And so, Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, the first half, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Now, the question is, how old are you today? Are you too old to do small group, evangelistic small groups? Well, if you think so, how about a man by the name of Moses? He was 80 years old. He was quietly being trained by God in the land of Midian. And you saw the story that picks up the conversation that Moses was having with God. It starts over there in chapter 3, But for time and for emphasis and for focus, we pick up in chapter 4 right here. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. And I don't know, do you believe in small groups? God is sending a message to us this weekend about evangelistic small group. And Moses raises the question with God, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord has not revealed to you about small groups. Suppose they say that, Lord. So the Lord said to him in verse 2, what is that in your hand? What is in your hand? Verse 3, and he said, or to finish up verse 2, God says to him, what is in your hand? Verse 3, and he said, cast it, he said, a rod. A rod. Moses had a simple rod that he was using to guide his sheep and as a weapon if they were attacked to protect the sheep. God says, Moses, what is in your hand? A rod. And you know the story that God used Moses and his rod to humble the most powerful nation on earth at the time, Egypt, in North Africa. Every time he stretched forth that rod, at the command of God, miracles happened. Including splitting the Atlantic Ocean, to use our terms. Or one of the, or all of the Five Finger Lakes. Held that rod across, and all of Elmira congregation, 93 and 94 years old, and 80 years old, and little children, walk right through these Great Lakes on dry ground, crossing over to Canada. Using that same rod, what is in your hand? God is telling us, we already have sufficient talents and spiritual gifts to do the work that he's called us to do. I've also read that there's enough means among us to do whatever God has asked us to do. You'd be surprised. What we need to do is just step out and do something for God. Then in verse 3, and he said, cast it to the ground. So Moses cast it to the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. Moses was surprised at the power that was possible using what he had in his hand. Something he took for granted. God was showing, look, little with the Lord is much. Placed in the hand of God, we can do a great work for God. And so we don't have to walk around anymore like a band of mourners. And as I move towards my conclusion, this was written to a church in Los Angeles, but I'm putting Elmira and Tioga and Vestal in this quote. It says, let the, and like I said, it was a Los Angeles church, let the Elmira, the Vestal, the Tioga churches. Out of that portion, the quote continues, have special seasons of prayer daily for the work that is being done. The blessing of the Lord will come to the church members who thus participate in the work, gathering in small groups daily to pray for its success. Thus the believers will obtain grace for themselves and the work of the Lord will be advanced. Do you know where that is taken from? It's the book we are studying in Elmira. What book is that? Evangelism. And to make it easy for you to remember, it's Evangelism page 111. 111. That's the book we're studying. That's what some of you guys are missing when you don't come on Monday night. We're studying the gems. And we're going to have our crowns filled with stars by telling others about Jesus and watching them surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be a part of that? Well, I invite you not to choke yourself over lunch, but to enjoy a meal and work it so we can be right back at 2 o'clock for our next session. Here's my closing quotation to you. When someone asks how you are feeling, do not try to think of something mournful to tell in order to gain sympathy. Do not talk of your lack of faith and your sorrows and sufferings. The tempter delights to hear such words. When talking on gloomy subjects, you are glorifying him. We are not to dwell on the great power of Satan to overcome us. Often we give ourselves into his hands by talking of his power. What should we do instead? Here it is. Let us talk instead of the great power of God to bind up all our interests with his own. Tell of the matchless power of Christ and speak of his glory. All heaven is interested in our salvation. The angels of God, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, are commissioned to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They guard us against evil and press back the powers of darkness that are seeking our destruction. Have we not reason to be thankful every moment? Thankful even when there are apparent difficulties in our pathway. And that's from the book we are studying at Vestal on Wednesday night. What book is that? Ministry of Healing, page 253. My brothers and sisters, including boys and girls, youth, young adults, wherever we find ourselves on the age scale, God has given us a glorious work to do. And he's telling us today, you already have what you need in your hand. Go fit up into small groups, evangelistic small groups, and make it happen. As I close today, I tell you this. I was baptized on September 21st, 1996, in Spanish Town, Jamaica. And when I joined the church, I never even knew the term small groups. But we began to meet. Group of new converts of us. There are maybe two or three guys who didn't just come in the church that were a part of this group as well. And we would go out into the community and share what we know. We were brand new in the church. We didn't know much, but what we knew we were willing to share. And we went out there and began to share. And before long, we had maybe 6, 7, 8 small groups. It became known to us back then as cottage meeting. We had these going in the community. And every day of the week we had something going on. Every day of the week. We were busy for Christ. The devil had no time with us. By the way, here's an advertisement for small groups. That's where I really got to know Risha. I got a wife out of a small group. And together we have produced 3 children. Huh? Just drop a word in there for a small group. Within 3 years, without trying, my home church in Spanish, the Clear Park Seventh-day Adventist Church, doubled its membership. People came to church getting baptized and testifying that we were the reason. And we're like, no, we didn't study with these ones. But our small groups were making such an impact in the community that people are taking notice. I want to say to you today, let's surrender all to Jesus and let us engage, sign up for evangelistic small groups. Like I said, the Lord is not done with Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church yet. The Lord is not done with Vestal Hills at our Tioga. The Lord has a mission for us here in the New Year Conference. So as we sing our hymn of commitment today, may it be that each of us is saying, yes, Lord, and amen. We will be, and even some of us, we will lead evangelistic small groups and make the difference that God wants us to make here in our church and our community. May God bless you richly. Amen.